We appreciate your kindness, your grace, your mercy to us. Even when we're undeserving, you're good. We thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would just touch every person in this building today. And Father, not only touch them, but touch every relationship they have with people. Father, we ask that you would help them. Father, we pray that you would touch their family, their friends, their children, their loved ones, whomever it is. Father, we pray that you would touch them. Mend broken hearts. Give peace to troubled minds. Give liberty to them that are bruised. Thank you for the anointing, God, that makes preaching easy today. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that makes hearing easy, that the word will be received with joy. Father, we ask you now that you look upon all of these, Lord, that are here today to receive this word, that you would add a special blessing to them. Let them feel the love of God. Let them know that you're present and you're very present, helping the time of trouble. Father, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be like, Lord God, the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to all that hear and believe. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the blood of Jesus that cures us, that cleanses us, covers us, and connects us to you. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that you've given to us, that you've given us the Holy Spirit with the love of God. And Lord God, he guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you for the word of God that strengthens and sustains us. We thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and you poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, for moments of intimacy with you. We thank you, Lord God, for your promptings and your hand being stretched out to us to say, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you said you'll supply all I need according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Lord. And Father, after you've done all you want to do in this service, after you've healed, delivered, set free, after you've blessed our souls, after you've given us a word and lifted us up on high, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. We'll join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, that can declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to use for a tag, a title, a thought, or a topic. When Jesus is on board. Subtitle. The power to speak peace. Power to speak peace. Amen. You see, the people who panic are the people who don't have control. Oh Lord, help me today. I got control of this, Jesus is saying. And so in verse 38, you go a little further, he says, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They begin to petition him. You see the promise and the perils of the storm, but then you see the petition in the storm. They begin to petition him. They said, Master, you need to wake up because we can't dip this water out. It's getting to be too much. We've been trying to dip with these bowls and it ain't happening. And the water's about that far from taking us all the way under. But you need to wake up and you don't care that we might perish. You don't care about your own self. You are back here asleep. You don't care that we all gonna die in this storm. Come on and say man. And your ministry's gonna go away. It ain't nothing gonna happen after this, but all of us will be dead. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. But Jesus was asleep and he woke up. But when they woke him up, they woke him up and said, you don't care about us. Sometimes we get up to a place where we think that God doesn't care what goes on with us. We need to know that God cares, because if he didn't care, he wouldn't have given us breath this morning to rise. We need to know that God cares, because he wouldn't give you the opportunity today to have a new day. He wouldn't have gave you a new mercy this morning. God cares about us. The Bible says, cast your what? Cares on him, for he careth for you. The word careth in that text means that he provides for you. God will provide for you. God cares for you, and we need to understand that when you pray, when you petition him, that he will answer your prayer. The problem is that we don't have confidence in him answering our prayers. Why? Because the devil make you think that you're not worthy. He make you feel like you don't need it. He make you feel like God might not answer you. But the Bible tells us that God knows what you're going to pray before you yet pray it. Don't you know that Jesus was on the pillar just waiting? He knew they was about to wake him up. He knew that they were going to ask him, did he not care about them? But he still laid there and waited for them to come ask him. And sometimes that's what we got to do. We steady dipping water. We still trying to get it out the boat. And all we need to do is go say, hey, Jesus, I know you're sleeping, but I want to ask you, don't you care about making sure I make it to the other side? Because your word depends on it. You said that I was going to make it to the... Y'all don't hear me today. But what they had forgotten, they forgot that he told them, let's go to the other side. And see, when God tells you something, you can bank on it, because he said, let's go to the other side. It doesn't matter that a storm came in the middle of when they were trying to go to the other side. He already knew that they were going to make it. And so all they had to do is hear what God had said. He said that we're going to make it. Even if the water gets in the boat, we're going to make it. Even if the wind blow hard, we're going to make it. While the rain is coming down, we're going to... Y'all don't hear me. Even if it's dark in my life, I'm still going to make it. If they talk about me, I'm going to make it. If they don't like me, I'm going to make it. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand that if God said we're going to make it, we will make it. And I don't need to get panic, and I don't need to get disturbed because of the storm, because the storms of my life, they may blow, but we got to understand that my soul is anchored in God, and no matter what happens, I'm going to make it, because Jesus is on board and he has the power to speak peace to the storm. I wish I had somebody. We need to learn how to pray in the midst of our trouble. We need to learn how to open our mouth. But what we do sometimes, we cry about it. We whine about it. We get negative. We get depressed. We get down. We think that it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. But if I prayed about it, the Bible said that God will answer my prayer. He said, if I can make my supplication known by what? Thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Oh, I thank you that you're going to do it. I thank you that you already done it. You see, we got to understand that God was already at the other side. He already knew what was going to go on the other side. And so since God already knows what's going to go on, God doesn't have to panic with us. He will not panic, because he's God. And if I can just believe that God is with me, and see, that's the problem. We allow him to sleep and he's right there with us. Will you call on him when you have trouble? Will you call on him when the water's rising in the boat? When the water's rising in your ship? And some of us need to understand that the ship could be your relationship. When the water's rising in your relationship, will you say, God, help me out. God, do something for me. Come on and say amen. Let me slow down. I don't want to miss nothing. So they begin to call on him. They woke him up. They say, Master, do you care that we're going to perish? Verse 39 says this, and he arose. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I like that. He arose. He didn't say, why you woke me up? See, Jesus is not moody. We are. He don't rise. Have faith, then he begins to move. He doesn't move when the storm arises. He doesn't move when the water fills up the boat. He moves when you call him, when the water fills up the boat. Before that, he figures, well, you think you got it. You dipping these, you got these buckets, and you working hard. You trying to manage it yourself. rather than giving it to God. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're trying to do it all by yourself. You're working hard. You're sweating down. You're getting tired. You're getting sore. You're looking at other people who ain't dipping harder than you, and they're in the same boat that you in. They're not dipping. They're looking at you, and you're looking at them. You mad with them because they're not doing as much work, or y'all complaining to one another. If you would dip on this side, we'd be all right. Oh, no, no, no. If we just call on, let's get together and pray. The two of us dipping, we can't do nothing. But the two of us praying, the Bible say one can put 1,000 to flight. Y'all come on now. The Bible tells that two touching anything as agreeing on earth, the Father in heaven could perform it. And I wish I had a few people that say, I'm stop dipping. I'm dropping my bucket right here and I'm going to start praying. Stop dipping and start praying. Tell your neighbor, stop dipping and start praying. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's on board. Yeah, Jesus is on board. Last week we talked about when Jesus is in the house. Now we're talking about when Jesus is on board. He says that he spoke to the wind. He says to the wind, peace, be still. Now, at some point, we got to understand that God, that when God does something, it seems to be crazy to your natural man. So why would he speak to something that we can't see, but we know we feel? He spoke to the wind and told the wind to be still. You see, we speak to what we can see. We speak to people. We speak to objects. But you can't see the wind. The wind is like a spirit. You can't see it, but you can know that it's present. Oh, come on and say amen. Jesus got up and he said, peace be still. Why did he say peace? Why didn't he just say storm stop? Because the storm could have stopped, but you still got water in the boat. The storm would have stopped. They still would have been panicking that I'm gonna sink. But when he said, peace be still, he said, look, I'm taking authority over the whole environment, and my kingdom come. And what is this kingdom? It's a kingdom of peace. And when he spoke peace, he spoke the word peace to say, you need to shut up. That's what that, if you read and you understand the Greek text, irony, he meant it. When he said it, he meant it. He said, you shut up. Yeah. Now they were crying out. They were panicking. They were yelling and screaming. And they were, Jesus, why don't you? And the storm caused them to holler and scream. And the storm was whistling in their ear. And they had all this stuff going on. But Jesus said, shut up. When he said, shut up, everything stopped. Yeah. And we got to understand that when God speaks, we ought to be stopped. Oh, come on, you ought to stop your complaining when he speak. You ought to stop your belly aching when he speak. You ought to stop your pity party when he speak. Oh, come on, you ought to stop your lying, your cussing. When God, y'all with me today? When God speak, everything ought to shut up. Everything ought to stop. And so the wind got enough sense to stop. The storm got enough sense to stop. But what about us? He said the wind, what? Cease. And there was a great calm. I'm almost done here. I'm almost done. What was the purpose of this storm? You'll find in verse 40 when you look at it. But the wind ceased and there was a great calm. 1 minute. I don't know how long they went through the storm. But in one instant, the storm was over. That's something about how God does things. And I love the way he do it because he does it like nobody else. And you can't confuse God's work with nobody else's work. Because in an instant, they had calmness. In an instant, they had peace. But what they had to do is trust him that he could speak it. They had to trust him that if he speak a word in the midst of the storm of my life, that everything will be all right. Oh, come on and say, man, you got to believe that it is in God's power to be able to stop your storm. It is in God's power to keep you from sinking. It is in God's power to keep you from being overtaken by the waters of life, which means the trouble of life. And so even though you have trouble in your way and you got to cry sometime, you lay awake at night and that's all right. You need to know that Jesus will fix it. Do you know that he'll fix it? I don't care what's going on in your relationship. I don't care what's going on in your families. I don't care what's going on in your finances. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you can trust God that he'll fix it, then he will. Yeah. Oh yeah, he'll do it, and you don't have to know when he's going to do it. The problem is we want to know too much. You just need to know to pray. You don't need to know what day he's going to fix it, what hour. You need to just go, you know, some things that God fixed in my life, I didn't know he had already fixed it until he had done it already. And then I realized, you know, I don't even feel that pain anymore. I totally forgot about it. I didn't even know. You get a letter in the mail that bill's been paid off. I didn't even know that bill was paid off. I don't know when the last time I had forgotten all about it, but it was stored into collection. But Jesus paid it all. Do I have anybody in here today that I didn't even realize that God had done something, and before I knew it, whoop, there it is. He did it. Come on and say man here. God did it before I knew it, so I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. And you know, I'm of the opinion that sometimes God only allow us to pray so that we think that we have something to do with it, so that we can have some faith and confidence in him. But do you know that even if you don't pray, you still wake up every morning because he loves you? Do you know? Oh, come on and say man, that even if you don't ask for his grace, he still gives it to you every day. Did you know that? Did you know that even if you didn't ask for his protection, he still protects you? Come on and say man. So you don't have to pray about it. I'm not telling you not to pray. But God has a plan for you to get to the other side. All you need to do is just wait on the Lord and trust in him and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Is that preaching or what? I believe I'm preaching better than you saying amen in here. But we need to trust God that he can get us through the storm. Now verse 40 says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no fear? Faith. The reason why we had the storm in the beginning was to show them that you've seen all the miracles I've done. You've heard all the word, and you've heard how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You've heard everything that I've done. You've been there with me. I've explained it to you, and you still don't have faith. We can come to church and a storm arise, and we still don't have faith. We can sing in the choir. Come on and say amen. We can pray all night and day. Get up off our knees and still be fearful. I don't know about you, but some people, you can be down praying, and then all of a sudden you're looking around thinking that some spirit is around you and trying to distract you because of the fear that you might have. But you need to know that I don't have no fear today. I got to have some faith. The reason why you can't have fear is because fear and faith won't come together and won't dwell at the same time. Either you're going to have faith or you're going to be fearful. And I'm here to let you know that you can't afford to be fearful, because if you're fearful, anything can happen. If you're fearful, the storm could take you out. If you're fearful, you could sink. Come on and say amen. But if you have faith in God, no matter what comes your way, you'll come out smelling like a rose. No matter what happens to you, God will come see about you. If you don't believe me, let's ask Lazarus. Lazarus, Jesus let him die. He let him be buried. But because he loved Lazarus, and Lazarus was his friend, he said, where have you laid him? He said, move the rock, Lazarus. Come forth. Some of us are just like Lazarus. God, you let me die in this. God, they done buried me. But God said, it ain't no problem, because you're looking at the resurrection. Do I have anybody here that said, I'm Lazarus. Look like I was dead, but here I am now living. You see, the thing about Lazarus is that after he died, see, before he died, he wasn't that popular. But after he died, he became popular. But you know one other thing about Lazarus, that after he died, the same people that wanted to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus. Lazarus didn't have no enemies until after the miracle. You see, the devil don't want to touch you as long as you ain't got nothing, as long as you ain't got no miracles, as long as you don't have a testimony. But when you get a testimony, you become valuable. When you get a testimony, you become powerful. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible tells us in Revelations 12:11 that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your own testimony. You need to let the devil know, I got a testimony. You can come trying to mess with me with your tricks. You can come and try to trap me. But I know the Lord will make a way and answer and say, yes, he will. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. But we got to understand what Jesus said. He said, why are you so fearful, knowing that I'm on the boat with you, and I'm not going to let anything happen to you, knowing that I'm right here with you? Why do you have so much fear? Now, what is fear? False evidence appearing real. The devil will make that thing real to you. He'll make it look like you're going out of here. He'll make it look like you're about to check out. But God said, I have the last say-so. Even though the pain feels real, God is real, because I can feel him down in my soul. Do I have any witness that know that God is real? Come on and say yes here. But then he says, how is it that you have no faith? You've seen the miracles. You know what I can do. You know who I am. You know I'm the Son of God. You know that I'm on board. You know that I can heal the sick. You know I can raise the dead. You know I can feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. So what is this storm to me? You know I can walk on water. Oh, come on and say yes. You know I can touch a casket and raise a dead boy. You know I can speak a word and cast out devils. You know I can do all of this. So why don't you have faith? You know I can save. Even Nicodemus got saved. Oh, come on and shout amen. I can save a religious man. I can do anything. But you still didn't have no faith. You've been walking with me for a while, and you didn't have faith enough to believe that I cared about you enough to deliver you from your storm. I wish I had somebody. See, God is not trying to set you up. See, we got to get that out of our mind, that God don't know what he's doing, that he's just throwing stuff out there. No, God has a plan, and his will be done. That's why we are supposed to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do I have a witness that I know the Lord's will? See, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, he tells us, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why do I do that? So I may know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what God is up to? Then give yourself to him. If you want to know what God is up to, say, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. You want to know what God is up to? I dare you to get on your knees and pray a prayer and let God tell you what I'm up to. But let me tell you what God's up to. God is up to blessing you. God is up to healing you. God is up to delivering you. God is up to taking your breakdown and giving you a breakthrough. Do I have any witnesses? I've been on the verge of breaking down, but thanks be to God, right at the midst of the breakdown, I broke through. I broke through my depression. I broke through that stress. I realize I'm too blessed to be stressed. I broke through this stuff. I had some storms. I've had some rain. But I know the Lord, he'll make it all right. Do I have any witnesses? But look at what Jesus did. And they feared him exceedingly. And they said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and see, they begin to obey. Let me tell you something about a storm in the sea. I don't know about some of you, but I've worked in the sea. I've been on the boat when I had bad storms. I'm telling you, you couldn't stand up. Every time after effects when the storm has passed. But when God does something, there won't be no after effects. Y'all not with me here? When God does something, there won't be no after effects. You won't feel nothing later on. You got to watch out for those people that say, oh, but later on, you're going to feel the after effects. I don't have to feel no after effects because God said when I did it right. God don't have do nothing. He don't halfway heal me. He don't halfway save me. And he don't halfway deliver me. When God does it, he does it right. Do I have any witnesses? I'm talking about Jesus now. Do you know who Jesus is? He's your shelter in the time of storm. He'll be your honey in the rock. Come on and say yes. Come on and give God glory. See what God wants you to see. The reason he allowed the storm. He wants you to see where you are. He wants you to see that you need faith. He wants you to see that you got some fear there. He wants you to see that you're not trusting him. That he told you you will make it to the other side. And he wants you to understand there's no room for fear. You got to cast that out. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean, preacher? That means God loves me so much that he's not going to let anything happen to me. That, oh, come on and say yes. That he can't turn it around. Come on and shout glory. Because every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Say yes. Say yes. Anybody with me? Will you take your turn and say every time? Come on, you don't believe it until you do it. And when you see it, you can shout and rejoice that every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Say yes. Say yeah. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who died for me, the one who was born of a Virgin Mary, who walked the dusty roads of Galilee, who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, who cast out devils. But in order to save me, he died. I say, didn't he die? He died. Say yeah. Say yes. He died, but he didn't stay dead. The Bible says that he hung his head and he died. He gave up the ghost and gave me the Holy Ghost. But early, that's a church word. Say early, early. Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody say power. He gave us power to speak peace in the midst of the storm. Anybody want peace? He told me in his word that he'll give me peace that surpasses all understanding. Somebody say yes. Say yes. I say, won't he give you peace? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I had my boat full, but won't he, won't he? The wind's been blowing, but won't he, won't he? The rain's been falling, but won't he, won't he? The devil's been busy, but won't he, won't he? Do I have anybody that said, won't he do it? Won't he pick me up? Won't he heal my body? Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Is he in your ship? If he's in your ship, don't worry about the storm. Be like the little girl who was in the storm when she called her daddy. Said, daddy, I'm in a storm. He said, baby, keep driving. She said, people pulling over. He said, baby, keep driving. But one time, she tried to call him back, and she had no signal. All she remembered was, daddy said, keep driving. But daddy, I can't see. He said, keep on driving. So when she got out of the storm, she called her daddy up. She said, daddy, I'm out the storm. He said, baby, now pull over. And she said, pull over. She said, while I was in the storm, you told me to keep driving. When I couldn't see my way, I trusted your word. You said keep driving, but now you want me to stop when I'm out the storm? He said just pull over. She pulled over. He said now get out of the car. And she got out of the car. She looked back and he said, what do you see? She said, I still see people that's pulled over, that's still in the storm. All I'm trying to tell you is that when you come to your storm, don't stop. Keep on moving. Keep on driving. Keep making your way. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right.